Bring the crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Okay, well, I come back and we get a dud. Come on, that's not fair. Brewers fall 6-2 today to the Diamondbacks after all the runs in yesterday's game. They didn't have any left in the Tupperware today, as they went down the last 13 in a row in this contest. Not the best offensive showing today. We can talk about Brandon Spurr. We can talk about Grant Anderson. We can talk about the challenges. But the reality is the offense is still in this hot and cold streak where they're searching for consistency. They're searching for a way to make sure that they can weather this storm until Jackson Churio and Andrew Vaughn return, and we'll have some news on their rehab outing a little bit later on in the program. But 855-616-1620 is the phone number, 855-616-1620. Craig Kishon will join us in just a moment. You know, what I look at from this game offensively for the Brewers was, Pat Murphy talked about this, and you'll hear from Murph as well later on in this program, is just the opportunities in the middle of this game where either the Brewers could have punched back and tied it, or even earlier add some insurance. And Craig is here with us now. And, you know, Craig, I point to the big glaring inning as the fourth inning, right? As obviously they score four runs, the Diamondbacks do, in the top half of that inning. And the Brewers had an opportunity to punch right back and avoid the all-important shutdown inning. And I think that a leadoff double from Luis Renjifo is exactly how you want to start that frame. And the Brewers ultimately, you know, they had a chance by loading the bases with Joey Ortiz and Brandon Lockridge drawing walks and Terang ultimately grounding out. But the way I see it is, even if you just get one across there, this is a completely different game because you punched back. And the Brewers just haven't really done that in these games when they get punched in the mouth lately.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. I think they're missing that type of a fight. I think in a game last night that we saw, they just built some momentum early and just had a big run scoring night, which was great. It was a great win. But tonight it was so within reach. But, you know, after they failed to get any runs across in that third inning, and especially the fourth, where it would have made, you know, maybe a psychological difference one way or the other, they were still very much in this one. But, you know, to retire 13 straight after that, it was the beginning of the fizzle in that fourth, unfortunately, as it turned out.
Yeah, and then even another opportunity in the fifth. Now, granted, that was a two-out rally just started by a walk to Gary Sanchez. Renjifo, again, keeping the rally alive with a single the other way. Brewers go to the bench with Garrett Mitchell. He ultimately strikes out. He goes over 2 with 2 strikeouts today. And, you know, we sound like a broken record right now, but the fact of the matter is what the Brewers are dealing with. And I know yesterday was a great day, and yesterday was more of an anomaly than the norm, but this bottom half of the order, when Renjifo gets a couple of hits today, the Brewers would love to keep the party going. But again, tonight, 7-8-9, even with multiple batters coming off the bench, a combined 0-for in tonight's game. And again, this is where you may throw your hands up in the air saying, I'm sick of hearing it, but you're going to hear it again. This is not what the lineup is supposed to look like, and they're getting closer to being able to push everybody a little bit further down, and you're not dealing with what the Brewers are dealing with at the bottom of their order right now.
Yeah, I mean, and we've talked about this too, Dom, just to be able to, right now it's almost survival mode. We've seen enough, high-level teams, you know, like the Mets and the Phillies and the Red Sox that were, you know, all supposed to do something here this year. And they are falling off the cliff like an avalanche right now. The Brewers are not, but they're also at the point where, you know, they need their veteran regular position and starting players back. And so the pressure's on a little bit for some of these guys to make sure they do their part and keep the game plan going, you know, keep your responsibility on defense, those types of things. They all add up when, you know, you're down and you're almost desperate to survive here. And this team is still too good. No matter who they're missing, they're still too good. And quite honestly, I think we're still seeing that, you know, based on the fact that they're only a game above 500, but they could be eight games below 500. I mean, look at the first month of the season. They've had a six-game mm-hmm. losing streak, a four-game losing streak. They just haven't been able to regain winning streaks here right now, but they just need to continue to hang on. I'd say for another at least week or so. I mean, by the time you get Vaughn and Churio back, They kind of need to get back in major league mode, you know. So that that's kind of how I see it.
And it's not like Churio and Vonner to suddenly go 4-for-4 every night either. You still need contributions from the rest of this order. Let's get to the phone lines, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Dell in West Dallas. Dell, you're live on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to apologize because I think I'm bad luck for the Brewers. I showed up and they had bases loaded tonight and then didn't get a run scored. So that's when I showed up at the game tonight after I got done with work, and I apologize. So I think I'm bad luck for the Brewers.
No, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Shake it off. It's going to be okay. Do you have a question, or you just wanted to, you know, come to a confessional with that?
Well, I mean, I did see two really, really hard hit balls against Greg Anderson tonight. And I'm just still not on the Grant Anderson bandwagon as far as him being a good major league reliever.
It's okay. I disagree with you there, Dale, but I appreciate the call and your take on that. You know, with that situation, it's the least desired situation, right, Craig? With down 4-2, top of the ninth inning, and oh, by the way, you're facing top of the order, and you don't have the platoon advantage on any of them, and oh, by the way, all three of them have been top 10 MVP vote-getters. I mean, they hit mistakes, and Grant made two mistakes, one to Ketel Marte and one to Corbin Carroll. Hey, man, this is the big leagues. You make mistakes, you're going to get punished, and I think Grant has made more successful pitches this season than mistakes. It just feels worse when the offense wasn't doing anything.
Yeah, exactly, and I think you're right. I mean, it's always tougher for guys to pitch in a spot where, I mean, he pitches in spots that are inconsistent right now out of the bullpen, and so there he is in a 4-2 game, you know, in the ninth inning, and you're facing Marte and Carroll. I mean, you can't blame any pitcher for giving home runs up to those guys. This is a mighty lineup. These guys have been around a long time who hit these home runs, and they can see a mistake and sniff it out in a hurry, and they can send it a mile and a half away, and that's what we saw here tonight. So, you know, you got to tip your cap a little bit to who's actually hitting the home runs. These guys are not no-namers, that's for sure. So I certainly like Grant Anderson, and you know, the Brewers suffered another setback in that bullpen today. So I think the bullpen's now is kind of in that spot, just like we talked about with the position players. They got to hang on. They just got to hang on.
Yeah, I agree. We can talk about that in a little bit. We got to talk about Brandon Spurt as well, because there was some good, there was some bad. It was Jekyll and Hyde, to use the cliche. We'll talk a little bit about the pitching coming up. Brewers fall 6-2 to the Diamondbacks. Rubber match tomorrow at 12:40. Back after this on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Do a little buy or sell. Brewers fall today 6-2. Brandon Spurt takes the loss in a mix of good and bad. So let's break it down here with our buying or selling, brought to you by Tony Wendorf & Associates. If you're looking to sell or buy a home, trust Tony Wendorf & Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin. Empowered by Keller Williams, they bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you, wendorfteam.kw.com. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. With Craig Kishon, I'm Dominic Catronio. You know, Sprout today, those first three innings, you're like, wow, yes, that's the guy. That's what it's supposed to look like. He struck out his first four batters. Nothing was hit hard, even the single. Yeah, he gave up a walk to Geraldo Perdomo, and he gave up a deep warning track fly out to Ketel Marte. But hey, he had, you know, 48 pitches through three innings, and 31 of them were strikes. He had four whiffs. He was looking like a guy that was in command of his stuff. And he even got a strike out of Corbin Carroll to lead off the fourth. And then all of a sudden, the Diamondbacks just stopped missing his fastball, and they were all over his sinker. Four straight batters reached, bookended by homers, a solo by Del Castillo, a three-run homer from Arenado. What did you see that was the biggest difference between the third and the fourth inning from Brandon Spurt tonight, Craig?
Well, I was hoping to see that it was more towards the third time round in the order, but he couldn't get through that full second time through the order. I think that's the thing that, you know, I was first of all hoping to see. But to, you know, he was cruising. He was looking really good. I mean, I think that was, you know, arguably maybe one of the two top, runs that he's had in a Brewer uniform in this short amount of time. Got that strikeout of Carroll to open up the fourth. But the Del Castillo home run, I mean, sometimes those can be, exactly like you said, we see what you got and now we're ready to hit and swing. But he got slammed with a message that you need to keep making adjustments, you need to keep hitting your spots. And I mean, the home run, the single all happened really fast. And then Arenado's home run, that was a battle there, but the three runs. So I just look at that like he was kind of set back on his heels in a hurry. And that's another welcome to the big league message. He's only done this 10 times. So to me, he's not going to be the fast guy out of the gates all the time, but he's got to learn more than anything at the critical time of the game that he's got to be able to adjust. So just a big learning experience, you know.
I agree with the whole 10th start thing as well, and I think there's some unfair urgency being put on Brandon's part right now given the shortcomings of the team in other departments that he doesn't control. But the thing that I'm buying right now is the fact that he still needs to use his curveball, and I think he kind of got a little shy from it after a foul ball to Del Castillo. And you look at those four hits, they were all on fastball varieties. Sinker, cutter, sinker, it was the sinker for Del Castillo, the cutter for Vargas, the cutter for Gurriel, and then the sinker for Arenado. And all of that in a row, none of those were breaking balls. I mean, for each of those hitters, three-pitch at-bat to Del Castillo after back-to-back curveballs, sinker goes yard. Vargas only saw fastballs. Gurriel only saw fastballs. Arenado only saw fastballs. Hey, man, this is the big leagues. They're going to see fastballs. You give it to enough times, they're going to catch on to your patterns. They're going to be ready for you. I think that William kind of got a little fastball happy in today's game as far as calling it behind the plate. Maybe that was part of the scouting report. I should be fair to him, too. But after they stopped swinging and missing at it after that first inning, you know, they were really fooled by the breaking ball. But then this is where the other sell part of this comes in, saying they got to be competitive because he bounced a few. He had some sweepers missed badly to the glove side, where that's where the inexperience is really starting to pop out, where you're saying, okay, I know you need to throw a breaking ball here, but as a hitter, I'm eliminating it because I'm sitting heater because I know I'll be able to see how big your miss is with the breaking ball right now. And I think that's exactly what the Diamondbacks keyed in on.
Yeah, that's exactly I agree with. I mean, there are going to be very, very fast, quick moments at this level where you're going to be set back on your heels and you have to adjust to it. And, you know, part of the battery mate thing is with William is probably spot on as well. It's his game with these young guys, and, you know, Sproat hopefully learned something here. Although sometimes, you know, it's got to take a little bit, you know, to go back and spend some time on this. And you sometimes just don't always pick it up as it's happening, like in that fourth thing. You kind of saw, to me, when he was at the top rail of the dugout, you know, trying to watch the rest of the fifth inning get completed, he looked a little bewildered. I know he's disappointed, but you can't be. And you got to understand this is going to happen. And this guy has already gotten into the seventh inning. I think he did on his last start, if not the start before. But he's had a taste of a few good things, as in positive results and results that he needs to experience on the negative end here right now.
Yeah, I think you still see signs, and there's still time with Quinn Priester, who has only made two rehab outings so far. They're going to take their time with him. You don't exactly have, you know, somebody banging on the door to say, come on up. Maybe it's a Logan Henderson. Maybe it's a Robert Gasser, but the Brewers know that there's not much left for Sproat to prove and learn in AAA. They want him to learn it in the big leagues. Let's talk about the bullpen, though, on the other side of this break, as the Brewers, as you mentioned earlier, they were dealt another blow today, and no matter what the Twitter mob thinks, this is a big loss for the Brewers with Angel Serpa going to the IL. We'll explain next on 620 WTMJ. A couple of texts that have rolled in. Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. Craig Kishon here too. Mitch from Kenosha, tough loss tonight. I'm still encouraged though that Vaughn and Churio are coming back. It's still such a young season, the Brewers will be fine. Alex in Oshkosh, tough loss for the Brewers, but great outing in his MLB debut for Brian Fitzpatrick. Tough one for Grant Anderson. Rubber match tomorrow to close out the homestand. Well, let's start with Brian Fitzpatrick. Let's get some happy in here. Big league debut, didn't get a strikeout, but hey man, he came straight into the fire facing Corbin Carroll and Adrian Del Castillo. Got a little swinging bunt from Carroll, then got Del Castillo to pop out to end a bases loaded threat in the seventh, left two stranded in the eighth, and it's a zero. He's in the lineup card. He's in the baseball encyclopedia. Congratulations to Brian Fitzpatrick.
That was fun to watch, Dom. It really was, because just the scenario, guys don't make their major league debuts in that scenario with, you know, guys on base. It's a tight game. Your team is down 4-2 and it's the fifth inning. That just normally does not happen. And it raised a lot of eyebrows and opened a lot of eyes in the ballpark and on TV, I'm sure. And this kid came through and got through that inning and then got through on more. So he ends up pitching. He got four outs here, an inning and a third. He did a great job. I was impressed with his poise. I was impressed when he was talking to the media, you know, before the game, just talking about getting to the big leagues and stuff. He's really put together, I think, psychologically. He's a big dude, 6'7". And I was impressed by his pitch selection, too, because he kind of threw everything in his limited time out there tonight. And to me, from his standpoint, I thought the message from Pat Murphy was, you're in this situation right now to make your debut, because this is the situation you will most likely be in to help our ball club win. So there you go.
Yeah, I agree entirely. You hit the nail on the head there. I mean, hey, you're going to come in to get lefties out, because Angel Serpa is now on the IL. And I know folks have their opinions about the start of his season. And quite frankly, this is a big blow, especially without Jared Koenig now. You've got two key lefties down that could get both sides out. I know Serpa was off to a slow start, but I tell you what, Craig, it's not often that Murph isn't optimistic about an injury. This is the first time in a while he was just sort of like, yeah, this is going to be a while. Just straight up, even before the final diagnosis was announced. I mean, they're calling it forearm tightness right now for Angel Serpa in his throwing arm. And look, for people who've been around baseball long enough, like you and me, when you hear forearm tightness and it's going to be a while, nothing good ever follows that.
No, I had two bad expressions on my face today at different times, and it was, you know, when you do hear what the injury is on Serpa, I mean, it's just it can't be good, and the manager didn't act like it was had much hope there for him returning anytime soon. And then when Fitzpatrick came in, you know, I had that wide open eye. You know, what's going on here? How can this guy make his debut here? So, you know, one end of the spectrum to the next. But, you know, it's too bad. The Brewers have been kind of hit hard with injuries for the second year in a row like this early in the season. So, but folks, don't lose hope, man. They're still going to be rather competitive here. There's still 5 months left of the season. And I guess I look at this too, Dom, and we've said it a million times, that the depth of this club usually outshines anything else at this point, and that's what they've got going on.
You know, when I look at what the Brewers have in their bullpen right now, is they've got a little bit of a future starting to unveil itself with, look, D.L. Hall pitched great today, too. We haven't even mentioned his name as well, given he kept the Brewers in this game as long as he could, and he needed to have a bounce-back outing today. He had three strikeouts. But then now you've got Shane Drouin, who's become an important piece in this bullpen out of nowhere, given he pitched well yesterday when the game was still close. He pitched important relief on Friday night to make sure the bullpen was preserved for the rest of the weekend series. And then you've now got Fitzpatrick up. He's going to be sticking around for a little bit. You're going to be asking maybe a little bit more out of Aaron Ashby here pretty soon, more matchup-based stuff for him too. And you look at Trevor McGill and you look at Abney Reband saying, all right, guys, you make sure that there's no funny business at the back end of this game, whoever has the eighth and the ninth inning, because the Brewers are at a spot with their bullpen where if they're giving them the lead, it's two hands on the wheel right now, man. 10-2, you're keeping your hands on and keeping your eyes on the road right now.
Yeah, you really are. And you know this. You know what this bullpen deserves here? They deserve to get the other half of this team balanced out and healthy to give them a break. And I think we're also starting to see some of the starting pitching, you know, on a little more regular basis anyway, go a little bit deeper in games. And I think you should start expecting that when you get through the first month of the season. I mean, it's going to be May 1st here, coming up on Friday. So there's a lot to turn the page on to get into the next month of the baseball season. And, you know, these guys will be able to get it. They'll be able to get it done, I believe.
Yeah, and despite everything that's gone wrong, despite everything on all the injuries and everything, the Brewers won't be worse than 500 when they wake up on May 1st. And if I told you that, you know, hey, you're going to lose Yelich, you're going to not have a single at-bat from Jackson Chourio, Andrew Vaughn's going to go down after three at-bats, you're going to have injuries in your bullpen, you're going to have underperformance, and you're going to be 500 at worst when you wake up on May 1st, everybody would take it. Because sometimes you have to zoom out to see, okay, they're going to get better down the road. And we'll give you that update coming up on the other side of the break. Well, Craig, appreciate you. I know you were with Bob last night. You were with me today. And, well, I'm 0-1 in this series, so hoping for a rubber match without you tomorrow.
I've been a lot of offers, Dom. It's all good. We'll get it back tomorrow.
All right. Craig Kishon here on 620 WTMJ. We'll be back and give you that update from the rehab assignment that has officially commenced for Andrew Vaughn and for Jackson Chourio. Back after this on 620 WTMJ. Brewers fall 6-2. No postgame show tomorrow, but we got Brewers Weekly that will air taped at 8 o'clock tomorrow night on WTMJ. Then available on YouTube first thing in the morning on Friday. And I can also report we're going to have an interview with Blake Burke, who's tearing the cover off the ball right now in Biloxi. He just hit his 8th homer of the year yesterday to go with 11 that he had last season in AA. And excited to hear from Blake Burke. We'll talk a little bit about this series. We'll talk whatever else comes to mind in our Brewers Weekly 40 or so minute podcast for your feeds. It's better over on YouTube. There's some visuals. You'll see Blake, and we'll talk some ball coming up on tomorrow night. Now, tonight, rehab, AAA. Crazy game, by the way. Big league spread. Everybody's excited because Jet Williams walked it off with an opposite field 3-run homer and a 4-run bottom of the 9th for the Nashville Sounds. So they win 7-4, but all eyes were on the top two in the order, Jackson Chourio and Andrew Vaughn. They both got 3 plate appearances. Vaughn went 1-for-3. Chourio went 0-for-1 with a pair of walks and a run scored. So all good news there. Everything is all systems go for those two guys. They're expected to play again tomorrow, assess where they're at, maybe an off day Friday, or even play again on Friday. They will want to play one full game at least while they're down there and continue to be ready to go. And the Brewers still have Monday penciled in, but who knows? It could be sooner as opposed to later. So that's certainly great news. And I see the reaction to tonight's game. Greg Jones had a tough day tonight, going 0-for-2. He used the second challenge of the game at a very poor time in the fourth inning. And look, Greg, the reason why he was acquired is because he's optionable and he's depth. And I don't think anybody expected, including Greg in a way, expected to be starting games in April. And that just goes to show you how injured the Brewers really are right now. And if you're looking for corresponding moves when Chourio comes back, you know, that's an obvious one. I feel bad for Blake Perkins right now, though, too, because Blake's in a heck of a slump to start the year. You wonder about him mentally. You know, we talked about it leaving camp where he was told he's not making the team, spent the last couple of days away from the team minor camp. Then all of a sudden the Chourio news comes out, and he has to be ready to go on the big league side. He's just 5-for-41 to start his season. And I just hope that Blake can get it back on the rails here sooner as opposed to later, because the Brewers need him. Depth is always important for the Brewers, and having a great defender like Blake Perkins is so huge. And you look at the rest of this outfield picture right now for the Brewers, Garrett Mitchell has slowed down fast right now. The strikeouts have really come on hot and heavy for him. He's been playing a lot more than usual. You go back to the Miami series, even including the go-ahead RBI double in extra innings in that opener of that series. He has been in quite the scuffle. He is just 6 for his last 33 with 7 walks in that span, but also 14 strikeouts, which is about 40%. Just not sustainable. So you hope that this outfield can get put back together when Chourio comes back, because then you also have to have the conversation that Jake Bowers needs to keep playing. Sal Frelick was off the bench today. He went 0-for-2. I mean, what do you do in the corners when Churio comes back? Does Churio go straight to center and you put maybe Bowers in left and then a Frelick or a Mitchell in right, depending on the day, depending on the opposing starter? There's still a lot to figure out there. Lockridge deserves some starts. Lockridge has been playing well. A walk and 1-for-3 day at the plate for him. So all that is to say, who's hot, who's cold. The outfield is just sort of both of it, who's hot is who's cold, because they're getting reinforcements here soon. But what are they going to do in the outfield in particular when Churio does return? It's brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Spring is almost here, despite what the temperature says right now. And for a limited time, and this is really for a limited time, it ends tomorrow, Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical is giving you a free AC system with the purchase of a new gas furnace. Stay comfortable year-round, but hurry, spots are limited. Call today or visit Sider.com to schedule your appointment. That's Sider.com today. Brewers fall today 6-2. There were a couple of highlights, some wacky plays in this one. We'll talk about that coming up next on 620 WTMJ. Rubber match tomorrow, again, 12:40, earlier start time. It's weather day here at the ballpark tomorrow. I'm a nerd. I love weather day. It's a fun time to be here with our friends here in all the students that come to town and all the experiments that you get to see at the ballpark. Very, very good. Brewers fall today 6-2. There were some highlights. In fact, they had a lead in this one. Let's get you caught up to speed with what went down.
Ready for this?
Out of here!
This?
Brought it back! Ho, ho, ho!
And this?
It is gone!
Time for tonight's highlights.
Brandon Sproat going up against Eduardo Rodriguez, the rookie right-hander. Started out with the best of times. Things started out really great for the Brewers and the top third of this order against the Diamondbacks.
Takes a deep breath, has his sign from Contreras, and now the payoff to Corbin Carroll. And he struck him out looking. Cutter on the back door, and Sproat strikes out the side. Good start for the Brewers' rookie right-hander.
And the good start got better. With one out, Bryce Terang hit a double in the bottom of the first inning, and with two outs and two strikes on him, Jake still rakes.
3-2 on Bowers. Rodriguez from the third base side of the rubber lifts the leg and throws. Swing and a line drive into the gap in left center. That'll score Terang. Bowers is into second. It's 1-0 Brewers on an RBI double by Jake Bowers.
All right. Get out to a quick 1-0 lead for the crew. Sproat was through three innings scoreless in the bottom of the third. The Brewers got going again. A bunt single to lead off the frame from Brandon Lockridge. And Bryce Terang hit him where they ain't.
3-2 to Terang. And a fly ball into center. Going back is Thomas. Still back over his head. It's going to roll to the wall. Lockridge off to the races. He's going to be sent around third. Terang stopping at second. The throw goes to third. The Brewers lead it 2-0.
All right, good things. However, with nobody out and Terang on second, he would fail to score after a ground out, strikeout, and soft lineout. That would be a theme of what was to come, because then at the top of the fourth inning, things escalated quickly on Brandon Sproat. He got his fifth strikeout to lead off the inning, but then a solo homer by Adrian Del Castillo quickly in the span of five pitches, back-to-back singles. And man, Nolan Arenado in Milwaukee again.
A one is a high fly ball left field. Lockridge is back at the track wall. It is gone. A three-run home run off the bat of Nolan Arenado. And the Diamondbacks, just like that, have taken a 4-2 lead.
I mean, he just loves hitting in this ballpark. Where the Brewers had a chance to respond in the bottom of the fourth inning. A leadoff double from Luis Renjifo, but then Eduardo Rodriguez buckled up. A strikeout to Greg Jones, a pop-out by Blake Perkins. Back-to-back walks, though, to Joey Ortiz and Brandon Lockridge kept the inning alive for Bryce Terang, but he would ultimately ground out to end the inning, and that would be one of the multiple threats the Brewers left. They left runners on second and third in the fifth inning, and then failed to get a base runner the rest of this game. But the lone bright spot later in this contest was Brian Fitzpatrick, called up today to make his Major League debut. Long Island native, Rutgers is where he played his college ball. Got out of a big jam with the bases loaded in the seventh.
First pitch to Del Castillo. Popped him up. This one on the right side into shallow right field. Frelick coming in, calling off Terang, making the catch. And Ryan Fitzpatrick gets the Brewers out of a jam in his big league debut here in the seventh inning. Pounds his glove, his family on their feet. They all came in from Long Island. to see the 25-year-old pitch in the big leagues for the first time here tonight.
Well, then the problem was after he exited the game, Grant Anderson entered, and then Ketel Marte and Corbin Carroll hit balls that still have not landed. They go back-to-back for the first time this season. They add insurance, and the Diamondbacks win 6-2. Rubber match tomorrow. Brandon Woodruff will take the mound for the Crew. He'll be going up against Michael Soroka, free agent signing of the Diamondbacks this past offseason. We'll preview that in the final segment. We'll take a break and come back and hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, after today's defeat. 6-2 again, the final, on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Brewers fall 6-2. I'm Dom Catronio. We're going to the top of the hour. Short and sweet from the manager today. Tells it like it is, as he usually does. This one was pretty to the point. Not much to diagnose with this one as the Brewers fall. Here's what Pat Murphy had to say after today's loss.
I signed him out of high school. He was coming to play for me in college, you know, and I've known Nolan. He's done that to us a lot. So, yeah, hats off to him. He's a great player. He's had a great career and continues, you know. He's still passionate about the game and great respect for him. You're right. Spro was throwing the ball incredibly. You know, he really, three innings, he was so good, and, you know, give credit to the Diamondbacks when they deserve it. You know, they came back today, and they, after those first three innings, they were getting dominated, and they came back and had a great, great approach and took advantage. Hit four home runs tonight, and that was the scoring. Yeah, I mean, he ticked down a little bit. You could see he ticked down a little bit, and you know, they were ready for what they were ready for. They were on it, and I thought DL Hall threw the ball really well. That's first time in a while that I really saw him throw the ball well. And Fitzpatrick, I couldn't be more thrilled for the kid to come in and face the hitters that he faced, you know, to face some of the best hitters in the league, you know what I mean, to come in and face those guys and do the job he did, give up two scratch hits and get four outs for us. There's some real positives there.
Is there a room for DL to kind of click up the totem pole a little bit in terms of you know, where he's utilized now with Serva being out and everything, or is that still?
Well, I think everybody's got a chance, you know, to move up. You know, we got Zerpa and Koenig out in the pen, and you know, when you lose two lefties like that, yeah, everybody's got a chance to. And DL hadn't been throwing the ball the way he wanted to in the last three or four outings, and this was a nice outing for him today.
Longer outing for him, 42 pitches. How is he feeling towards the end of it?
Well, that's why I took him out. I don't think he was feeling great, but he's capable of that. I mean, he was built up in the spring, so you know. There was a chance that he was going to start games, you know, so he's got that ability, but it's tough. You know, as a pitcher, you got to be really committed to your conditioning and that type of thing. So,
if you guys still had a few innings tonight, especially a little earlier with some traffic, but not the same output,
yeah.
Is that the difference in the at-bats, or balls finding gloves, or?
I mean, no. I mean, you saw it. I mean, we didn't hit with two outs tonight. We had traffic with two outs. You know what I mean? And didn't really. The most discouraging inning is when we let off the inning with a man on second. We had some pretty empty at bats after that. That was hurtful. You know, to me, that's when we first got behind. We didn't respond. We got a man on second right away, and then we had some empty at bats, and that wasn't our typical way of doing things. But yeah, we had opportunities, and just, you know, you know, it's been our story so far in the first month of the season that we haven't been consistent.
I mean, just like we opened the show with, haven't been consistent. You heard it straight from the manager. That's what the Brewers are looking for. And tomorrow they maybe go to their most consistent arm in their starting rotation, Brandon Woodruff. Preview that matchup coming up next as we say goodnight on 620. WTMJ. Good one tomorrow afternoon for the finale of the homestand. Brewers need a win to make sure they split the homestand to go 3-3. Hey, if you go 500, you know, while all this goes down with all the injuries that they have, it's pretty impressive. The Brewers are 15-14 right now, and they'll hand the ball to Brandon Woodruff tomorrow. He has been better since that weird start in Fenway. He has only went 71 pitches in his last start, but now he was matched up against Paul Skeens in that one. On Friday night, he took the loss, 5 innings, 5 hits, 3 runs all earned, 1 homer, 2 walks, and only 3 strikeouts. That's the thing we're really monitoring right now, because against the Marlins, he had 7 innings, just 1 run, and only 4 strikeouts. We haven't seen him really ratchet up the Ks yet so far. And the Diamondbacks are a team that do not strike out. That is one of their best calling cards in their scattering report. So it'll be a tough sled for Brandon Woodruff. Maybe the upper rail fastballs will work in his favor. Maybe we see a lot of changeups given how many lefties he'll be facing. But he'll be going up against one of the big stories that's been underrated here in the National League. That's Michael Soroka. Soroka's healthy, he's throwing hard, and he's punching tickets. He's got 34 strikeouts in 27 and two-thirds innings, a 4-0 record, a 2.60 ERA. He has worked beyond the fifth inning, though, only twice. That's something to monitor because his pitch count tends to climb with all the strikeouts. He eclipsed the century mark in his last start. That was against the White Sox. A no decision, though, after the Diamondbacks bullpen blew it late. 5 innings, 7 hits, 1 run in his last go-around against Chicago. So the Brewers will have their hands full with the former National and the former Cub from a season ago, Soroka, tomorrow at 12:40. Then it's on the road, trying to get revenge on the Nats as they'll go to our nation's capital for a 3-game weekend series with Washington after they were swept at home by the Nats during that 6-game losing streak earlier this year. Friday will be at 5:45. Saturday will be a midday game at 3 o'clock, the mid-afternoon game, I should say. And then Sunday at 12:35, all times central. Then the Brewers continue the road trip. They go on to St. Louis for their first of 3 with the Redbirds Monday through Wednesday of next week. And then the next off day is a week from tomorrow. So a little bit of consistency, some routines being established at this point in the calendar, and the Brewers getting ready to go back on the road against a couple of teams. But I tell you what, the NL Central continues to impress, despite the Brewers being only 1 game above 500. The Cubs won again today. They win 5-4 over the Padres. They're 19-12. You look at it elsewhere, the Cardinals, they're 17-13. I mean, I don't think anybody saw that coming a month into the season for them to be over 500 and playing great baseball. They beat the Pirates today 5-4 on a walk-off home run robbery with that short wall in left field. Nathan Church reaching up over the wall to make the catch. Go see that highlight if you so seek it. And also, the Reds, also with 19 wins with those Cubs, they were idle today, but they will get back to work. Or I should say they were bludgeoned by the Rockies 13-2 in Cincinnati. But the Brewers still above 500, still the only division of baseball that can say all their teams are above 500 because they're facing quality opponents. No post game tomorrow, but we do have Brewers Weekly tomorrow night at 8. That is taped, and then on YouTube Friday morning. Our producer has been Matt Yazel. I'm Dom Catronio. Keep on swinging.